Right? I met a boy called Frank Mills on September 12th right here in front of the Waverly. But unfortunately, I lost his address. He was last seen with his friend, a drummer he resembles George Harrison of the Beatles. But he wears his hair tied in a small bow at the back. I love him, but it embarrasses me to walk down the street with him. He lives in Brooklyn somewhere, and he wears his white crash helmet. He has golden chains on his leather jacket, and on the back are written the names Mary and Mom and Hell's Angels. I would gratefully appreciate it if you see him, tell him I'm in the park with my girlfriend. And please tell him Angela and I don't want the $2 back, just him.
Hey everybody, Thursday night and here we are again. I'm Jake. With me as always, Hot Stuff and Riff.
Hello.
Hot Stuff's having some technical difficulties because he's too dumb to work a PC. All these years of using a Mac have rotted away your brains to a tiny shriveled husk that's barely capable of thinking about anything at all.
Alright, I have double-clicked on a number of different web browser icons, and the little hourglass thing shows up next to the arrow, and then just nothing happens.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And then I've tried launching it from the start menu.
Have you tried being less stupid?
I have.
Have you tried complaining?
I have.
Good.
That's the one that always works for me.
Complaining?
Yeah.
It's like the computer can hear you.
Especially if you can have a chat or something that you can go complain to other people about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just totally makes it work.
Or if there's someone else in the room with you.
Yeah.
Like actual human contact. Wait, what?
What?
Did you say fun when you play off of your own joke?
Did you just make out with a robot?
Did I make out with a robot? God, I wish. And if I had a robot I could make out with, I'd never leave wherever the robot was.
It'd be like licking a 9-volt battery.
Huh. That'd be pretty hot. Except it would be like licking a 9-volt battery in Soviet Russia, where the 9-volt battery also licked you back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it be like a sexy robot, in a Bjork video?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Maybe, you could make out with two sexy robots at once.
Who wants to make out with, a non-sexy robot?
That was the worst game show ever. Who wants to make out with a non-sexy robot? Because it was like...
They've just got Asimo or something.
No, well, you'd win, and then you'd just be making out with one of those big arm robots from a car factory.
Yeah,
or Tobor, or the robot from Lost in Space, which might be Tobor. I don't know. I bet whoever named that robot Tobor thought they were pretty clever.
Because it's robot backwards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet whoever named Tobor was really clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't realize it until it was explained to me just now. We got, video games.
Video games?
Yeah, we've been making...
Video games.
We've been making video games. Remember
You're
how I...
even making them out of wood.
Yeah, it's weird. You wouldn't think it'd be a video game when it's actually just a ball with a cup. Two balls, one cup. I've been playing a lot of two balls, one cup at home.
Yeah.
Now that we've got another roommate, it's I have two times as many people's dishes to dip my balls in while they're not around.
Hooray!
It's taken a long time. I mean, it's really more like a, my OCD kind of requires me to do it. And so, that's the only thing that gets me up in the morning, because I have to get up before everybody else, that I have enough time to teabag every dish, and put more dots up on every time. I haven't actually been teabagging your dishes, Hot Stuff.
Good. I mean, I don't know what that would mean, because I guess you could be taking clean dishes out of the rack, teabagging them, and then putting them back in the rack.
Yeah.
The dish rack.
You'll notice that I don't use any of the collective dishes. I only use my own special dishes.
I don't know.
That haven't had my nuts on them.
I see.
That's how you can tell the difference between dishes I will use and dishes that I won't use. So we've been... what have we been... Hot Stuff and I spent all of yesterday arguing really loud about narrators and narration. And maybe you listeners can weigh in on this. Alright, so basically Hot Stuff was listening to an episode of Idle Thumbs, and Chris Remo was bitching about how video games will... and not Jake Video Games Rodkin, but just video games in general, like the actual games that are video games, will have you playing, and it's like, you're playing this game, and you've got this character, and you're playing the game from the character's perspective, and then all of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, here's a cutscene that takes place somewhere else. And Chris Remo looks at that and thinks, what the fuck? I'm confused! And Hot Stuff looks at that and says the same thing. And Chris Remo says, why won't games take a stand on what perspective they're being told from? And so, to me, I look at video games and, like, movies and everything, and I think that in my unsophisticated approach to consuming media, which, you know, I don't know that I actually have an unsophisticated approach to consuming media. I feel like with video games, I know a lot about video games, and I, you know, can, like, it is important to me to sort of understand video games more so than it is to actually, like, play them and have fun with them, you know? Mm. And, but in terms of like storytelling, in terms of narrative, I am untrained. I'm coming at this from a what do you call it when like some hillbilly makes a sculpture out of
outsider
muskrat
art.
Teeth? Yeah, outsider art. Yeah. So which is weird.
Hillbilly makes a sculpture out of muskrat teeth.
Yeah, that's what you call it. Like in that episode of The Simpsons when Homer makes he puts together his barbecue badly and then it gets sold to an art gallery.
Wesley Willis is considered outsider art in musical.
Yeah.
For example.
Man, I read about this thing that like David Bowie was involved in. I think it was on Boing Boing. But somebody wrote this book that was a retrospective on the career of this artist that they just made up just so that they could like trick the New York City art scene into talking about this guy like they knew about. Oh yeah, I was looking at his stuff 20 years ago. You know, just to prove that everyone who is pretentious is a big fat liar.
That the art scene is basically bullshit.
Yeah, just a bunch of... I mean, it is certainly a scene that produces some stuff, but it is also a bunch of lying liars and the lies they tell. So anyway, my position is that when I'm playing Final Fantasy, which is hardly ever, but if I'm playing a game like Final Fantasy, mm-hmm. you know, starts out with like an opening scene that's like some shit going on, and then like eventually it's like, oh, here's me on the screen, this is me, this is the character that's me, and then I run around and I'm like, alright, here's me seeing the things that me sees, and killing the monsters me kill, and wanting the cookies me want. And I when I reach a crucial juncture and suddenly it flips to a cutscene that's like, oh, this is apparently the primal evil bad guy that is the sort of like main force for evil in this story, and I'm seeing something that my character is not there to see, does not bother me even a little bit. Like, a sudden shift in a cutscene to an omniscient viewpoint, it never occurred to me that that would be something that could bother someone. But
no,
Hot Stuff
and
Chris
Remo are
very bothered by it.
As long as it's done in such a way that it's obvious that that's what's happening and it's not confusing, sure. I don't have a problem with that.
Hot Stuff believes that you have to make an attempt to establish that there is a narrator, and once you've done that, no matter how cursory it is, like a single line of text above the opening cutscene that's like, you know,
meanwhile
yeah.
That honestly,
that makes it okay. And
it,
like,
it does, though, because it provides the context, right? Like, 'cause if you just... You had just a bunch of random scenes from different locations and places and times, and you stuck them together, you could be theoretically telling some sort of story, but it wouldn't make any goddamn sense, because you would have no idea what the fuck was going on.
I mean, and I guess I just feel like if it is a distinction that is 100% sort of like that lives or dies based on the word meanwhile ... appearing at the top of the screen, that it is a meaningless distinction.
I mean,
right?
that doesn't
actually do anything. Like, if
that's just not true.
I mean, you don't also. I mean, you don't necessarily even want that. What about like Pulp Fiction, where you've got several narrators playing out several different stories that nevertheless intertwine into one story?
I feel like if
there are plenty of people who get really confused by movies like Pulp Fiction.
Right, but it would be way, way worse if every scene had a 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, but like that one in particular is designed to be nonlinear. You are supposed to figure out what the story is based on the structure of the movie. Like it is deliberately trying to be sort of convoluted.
I mean, I feel like most of the time, the stuff you see in games that is like this, you don't really need the meanwhile, because it's often pretty obvious. I mean, if the cutscene is suddenly in a big, dark, evil castle, and it's the evil lord talking to a minion, you know what's going on. You don't need the narrator to say, meanwhile, in the bad guy's castle.
Yeah, because I think we've become sort of attuned to bad storytelling, but I don't know that that's...
This is where we have this fundamental disagreement, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
to me...
It's show, don't tell. I mean, if you can show the meanwhile without actually having to say...
Right, and that is exactly the point that I'm trying to make in this, is that in your mind, the difference between bad storytelling and good storytelling is this completely trite bullshit cliche.
The way that you are describing it is trite and bullshit, but like, you don't have to do it that way. And that's what I am trying to say, is that you can make a story that has a point of view that is so much more compelling than one that doesn't. And that's what I'm trying to say. And then you just keep coming at me with these these sort of arguments of, well, I want to do it this way, regardless of what is like a good, interesting structure. So you're telling me that I have to do this like trite stuff, and I'm like, well, if you're not going to relent on some other aspects of how things should be told, then yeah.
I mean, I guess so. The part what we're dealing with here, effectively on some base level, is like our new game has cutscenes, right? Our new game has some cutscenes that like tell some bits of some story, and in the first cutscene that we've developed, which was done, you know, by a guy who's not like a video game guy, right? Like he's just an animator. He's just like, all right, I'm just making this cartoon. There is the first half of the cutscene, which shows some stuff happening, and then there's the second half of the cutscene, which is you sort of stumbling onto the aftermath. Your character stumbling onto the aftermath of the stuff that happened in the first scene, and Hot Stuff believes that the cutscene needs to be changed. Like, that either we need to establish, like, via some sort of opening crawl or some sort of text narration or voiceover, that there is an omniscient narrator in the beginning, or we need to place the character in that first cutscene. Like, well, we could just have the guy hiding behind a bush.
There are, like, a dozen different possible things that we could do to make it narratively make sense. Your contention that the first cutscene happened days earlier, but there was no indication of that, and like it just didn't make any sense to me at all. Like there was no way for the person, like there was no way for the player,
right?
There's no way for the player to know that this thing
happened 2 weeks earlier. And the reason that I am okay with that is that it absolutely does not matter that it happened 2 weeks
yeah,
earlier.
I know that it happened two weeks earlier.
But
I'm remembering the cutscene correctly, I totally wouldn't have said 2 weeks later. My assumption was like, this just happened, and the character is arriving on the scene directly afterward.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, it was very clear to you that these events unfolded before you got there.
Yeah.
And was it jarring to you as the person playing this game? Like, wait, why did I see that? My guy clearly wasn't there until I didn't even notice there was anything. Right, and see, that's the thing. I don't feel, and here's the counter.
It happens to me. It doesn't. I wouldn't say all the time, because I feel like, you know, most Hollywood movies do pick a point of view and stick to it. But when there are movies that don't, it is super jarring to me.
Right, and I mean, so the argument, you know, the converse of the argument is like, there will be a piece of music, and there will be something in it that drives me fucking banana cakes, and Hot Stuff will be like, what? This is great. I'll be like, no, this has to be fixed. This absolutely has to be fixed right now. And Hot Stuff just won't be able to hear it. Hot Stuff won't understand what's wrong with the piece of music. And it's, you know, and because Hot Stuff is like a trained gay dude, and I've had some music training. You did have some faggotry, right? You took at least
101.
What?
By which I mean Hot Stuff is a drama major. A theater major? Are you a drama major? No, you're a drama llama.
Well, I mean,
you're a drum major. That's it.
I did a ton of baton tricks. Theater in high school, and like about a semester of theater the first time I went to college.
Like that baton death march that you do, where you put blades on the end of your baton and just march through a crowd, just hitting everyone left and right. Right, that's what that is, right? I guess I feel like by default. And it is possible, right? It is possible that people who think about narrative, people who think about story, people who like really critically analyze movies and plays and books, like feel like this is a problem with video games. But I feel like when I am playing a video game, I assume an omniscient narrator. I feel like when I am consuming any media, I am assuming an omniscient narrator, because
At least in a game with a third person perspective.
Yeah,
I would be puzzled to see an out of character cutscene in Half-Life.
Sure, right. But I think that Half-Life is very much the exception there. And people talk about how great it is because of that. People talk about how great Half-Life is because of the perspective that it maintains, but there is no fucking way that every game should be like that. Right, that's kind of my take on that, right? Like, Half-Life uses the completely silent protagonist
very, very
well. What I am
saying is that I would like to raise the bar in what we produce instead of doing stuff that I consider sloppy storytelling. I feel like we could actually do something that was better
than
that.
And I know that this is not what you're claiming, but I will make the case that meanwhile ... lowers the bar by a mile, right?
I don't want to use meanwhile ... right? Like that is just a super overused,
I mean, so I guess
aspect of narrative storytelling.
What's your solution then?
Like, the one that I thought made a bunch of sense was to sort of just prepend a tiny little segment to the first cutscene, which is you getting the story out of one of the other bandits, basically. So you're like, you go...
Spoilers. Okay, but then, so here's my question. I want a cutscene somewhere halfway through the game that is the cliche cutscene. We're like, look, it's here in the Dark Castle. Here's the mean major bad guy sending one of his minions out to kill you. So that you're introduced to both the major bad guy, you establish, wow, that guy's a dick. I really want to fucking stab that guy in the face with a club.
Well,
we sort of establish him, but we don't show him at home. We don't show him as he actually appears. We don't show him interacting with any of his lieutenants, right?
So if you want to do that, I feel like you need to sort of pick a couple of options, right? You could have the whole story told from the point of view of both the player character and the, you know, evil
Do like the antagonist. Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker kind of thing.
Yeah. This is exactly my point, right? Like, Hot Stuff believes that Star Wars is okay because of the opening crawl. The opening crawl establishes that there is a narrator. Sure. Whereas in my mind, that's crazy sloppy, because it establishes that there is a narrator that you never ever think about again.
I think I feel like what makes Star Wars okay is that it's not just Luke's story. It's told from the point of view of Luke and of Vader.
I think there are scenes that do not
show.
Yeah, there are tons of scenes that neither of them are in.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's true.
Right. I mean, so like Star Wars is told with an omniscient narrator, right? That omniscient narrator is not established, right? Like, Hot Stuff, your belief is that the opening crawl establishes that there is an omniscient narrator?
I mean, I think that's part of it, yeah.
I guess, and here's the thing, like, this is where I feel like maybe my consumption of movies is not as sophisticated as it could be. I think of every movie as having an omniscient narrator.
Which is just not even close to the case.
Okay. I mean...
Most movies have points of view. Most movies, you see scenes, not through the eyes of the protagonist, but, like, you are only introduced to information and scenes and bits that are known to...
So, I mean, the Lord of the Rings movies... Lord of the Rings, the book...
Starts off with a fucking narration. Right? Like, it starts off with a narration.
But...
It is a story that is being told.
Every
right?
movie is a story that is being told. Like, no,
no
I, though. Listen, I'm not trying to frustrate you.
I know,
or piss
but it's
off.
Just
I really want to explore this because I feel like if I am seriously so and you know, not trying to be condescending here, but if I am seriously so dumb that I just don't get this, I feel like a lot of our listeners probably are also really dumb. Riff, what do you think?
I always knew they were super stupid.
So, I think of every movie as being a narrative that is being told to me, right? Like, every book is a narrative. Every book. Every utterance of language is a narrative.
I feel like most utterances are not narrative, right? I feel like most...
You're just telling me a story about utterances.
See, that's one way of interpreting it, but I don't think that is true. I'm just stating a fact about utterances. Like, that's a very different...
So you, as a character in this story, in this act, you
see,
state...
Maybe that's your problem. Maybe that's your problem, is, like, you are just...
There's some distinction between presentation of information and story that I don't make.
Yeah, we're...
Maybe.
I guess.
Are there movies that are not a narrative?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have to think about it.
Okay, so almost every movie is a narrative.
Yeah.
My argument, and I cannot really think about, like, I would have to sit and actively think about a bunch of examples. I feel like every movie has an omniscient perspective.
That is just not true.
I feel like it is.
Have you ever seen Rashomon?
No, but being able to name a single movie that doesn't. Like, well, what I'm saying is I feel like by default, movies follow
multiple
characters.
We watched The Fantastic Mr. Fox last night. Almost every scene is about Fox, right?
Okay, but almost every scene is categorically different from every scene. Right?
It depends on like what reason you have to see something.
Because
outside of that,
because it makes the movie better.
No,
right?
That,
my,
no, like
so
there's,
in
I'm
the
saying
Fantastic Mr. Fox, yeah. There are tons of scenes where you see stuff from all kinds of different characters' perspectives, which to me means you're not seeing it from any character's perspective, right? Like you see scenes where it's just this guy and his wife sitting in, you know, sitting on the porch, and what that's doing is establishing the characters. Right? And, like, Fox did not see these. His son didn't see them. There are probably 30 permutations of characters that appear in scenes in The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no character that's in all of them.
Sure.
Therefore, The Fantastic Mr. Fox is told from an omniscient perspective. Or it is told from the perspective of every single character, which means it's omniscient... Except that it ignores things that are irrelevant to the story.
Except that it also starts with a sequence where it is, there's like some text over the thing, and there's a book that is being sort of opened, and it's like being told as a story.
But that is, I guess, to me, like, right, to, like from your perspective, that establishes that there is a narrator,
yeah.
And to me, it is totally unnecessary. Like, it is so cliche
okay.
to personify the narrator. That no one does it anymore.
But we just saw a movie where it happened and it didn't bother you a single bit.
I'm not saying that it bothers me. I'm saying that it wouldn't have bothered me if it wasn't there.
I disagree. It would have bothered... it. Like, there is a dissonance that happens when a movie doesn't establish a point of view. And like maybe you just don't see it, I guess. Like the things that are the most clear to me are situations where... most of the movie is told from a particular point of view, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's suddenly from a different point of view.
So, like, Inglourious Basterds. did Inglourious Basterds drive you fucking crazy? Because it switches points of view, and it does so about every half hour. With no explanation. There is no narrator.
There's text over a bunch of stuff.
I guess what is driving me nuts about this?
So in order for that to work, they have to tell you where you are and when you, like, they have to explain at the beginning of each different cut where you are and what time it is and like what the context
but
is.
They don't.
They and do every they, fucking time. They do. Like, you are just wrong if that's like everyone had a title sequence that was like, you know, America, like, was it, you know, like, Fort Bragg, you know, 1944. Okay. One was, like, was France, you know, 1942, or whatever. Like, they all had these things.
I guess, to me, the notion that, let's say that those text labels are there, which, in Pulp Fiction, they are absolutely not. In Reservoir Dogs, they are not. Right?
I haven't seen Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction has, like, chapter titles, which are weird. Right, I guess you will say that is enough to establish, all right, this is a book, so the narrator is whoever's reading me the book, right? I mean, this is the problem. Like, I know that you're frustrated because it seems like I'm just being obtuse about this, but
every time you come up with an example and then I say, but here's the construct by which they are using to make it have a point of view, you're saying, well, no, that doesn't count because that's just a device. I'm like, but that's the whole point.
But it is. In my mind, it is so trivial that meanwhile, .. cannot possibly be
here's my contention, as you are
claiming that it is.
Like, if we did nothing in our current setup and just left the cutscenes as they are, I think it would be, people would just be dissatisfied with it. I don't think it would flow well, and I'm just like.
I mean, I feel like of
I don't
the
know, man.
Ten
There's two guys the, kicking that barrel is pretty awesome.
Of the 10 people who've seen it so far, one has been bothered by it, right? And the other 9 of us never occurred to us that there was anything wrong with it. And again, I am not trying to invalidate your point of view. I'm trying to understand it, right?
Because part of it also, I think, is that I'm trying to see the game that we're making as telling a story, and I feel like you guys aren't, and that also is part of the disparity there, right?
I mean, I guess
I can play a game of Space Invaders, which I don't think tells any story, and it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter that you don't have any context for what's going on or whatever, right? Like.
Right, I mean, so I feel like there are definitely these, like, approach differences, right? Like, I want a game that establishes
mood,
a world,
right?
That I am a lot more concerned with, like, sort of atmosphere and ambiance than I am with an explicit narrative, because I kind of feel like, in most cases, like, the narrative of an RPG is fucking stupid. It's like, first I killed a rat. Then I killed a rat. Then I took a nap. Then I killed a rat. 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 Then I went to town, and I sold 6 rat tails. And then I bought a slightly thicker shirt. Then I killed a rat. 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 Right? So the story is not the game, right? Like, so there, in my mind, there is this distinction between these two things. What was it? It was in one of the Idle Thumbs where they were like imagining in Prince of Persia the Sands of Time, because it's theoretically the main character telling the story. Like, how fucking annoying it would be if you actually.
No,
and then I fell into a pit and got impaled on some spikes. Wait, that didn't happen. I ran and tried to jump over this thing and fell into a pit and was impaled on some spikes. No, wait, that's not what happened. I ran and jumped into this thing and tried to. Right, so I mean, there is clearly a distinction between what you're doing and what the story is, right? And to me, that distinction just is like turtles all the way down, right? Like that, it is so far away that it might as well not
be connected,
be meaningful, right? And
but see,
so
that's, I feel like you could connect them in ways that would be really compelling, right?
I mean, I think about like Fallout 3, which I've been playing the shit out of lately, I absolutely love poking around into the corners of the world and seeing things. Like I was telling, I don't know if you ever saw this in mm-hmm. your playing, but when I was just like randomly exploring, like trying to get locations marked on my map. So like, yeah, the story of my character in Fallout 3 is, oh, I reached level 20, and then I took this perk that shows me where all the points of interest are on the map and tells me the name of them, but doesn't tell me what they are. So now I have to go discover each of them in sequence and look around. And one thing I found in between two points was this point where there was like an intersection of two sewer lines, and there was like this crashed car, which somebody had built
skateboard ramps
out of wood, right? And then up the ways a little bit, there was a crashed motorcycle, and right above the car was the top half of a skeleton hanging from this light fixture. Like, you know, and so to me, that has established the world. Like, you know what? Like, that's a fucking boring story. Hey, one time this guy tried to jump over a car on a motorcycle by building a ramp out of wood, and ho-ho-ho, he wasn't paying attention to that light fixture. Sure did get his bottom half of his body knocked off. You know, like, that...
That's a boring story to you?
It's not a story. It's an anecdote, right? Like, which... All right, this is, like, the difference between lying and making shit up, right? Yeah. Stories and anecdotes, two different things. Like, I think of... When people talk about story in games, I don't think that they're talking about the, you know, maybe they are. Maybe I just don't know. Maybe I just don't know what people are talking about.
That would I would be really excited about. Like finding little nooks and crannies of World of Warcraft that clearly somebody had like spent some time, you know, thinking about or whatever. Like going to the Caverns of Time and going back to like old Hillsbrad or whatever, right? Like, you could go into the village and just listen to people have conversations and talk and stuff, and it was really neat.
It was really cool. I tend to think of that. I tend to think of what World of Warcraft had in spades was atmosphere. You tend to think of it as having story. Most people describe it as a game that does not have story.
I don't understand. That just doesn't make any sense to me, because there is an overarching
world story, but it's all backstory.
No, I mean, the characters are participating in the unfolding of the story as it moves forward in time.
Right, except I feel like for the most part, people don't believe that happens because nothing changes.
Yeah,
as a result,
it doesn't move forward.
It does. It doesn't move forward.
It
doesn't move forward.
A paragraph that says, "Oh, it's changed. We've liberated Dirtbolt or whatever." But like, you know, I don't even know if that's a thing.
The world doesn't change because of the limitation of sort of the technology to some extent.
Well, and the fact that it's a multiplayer game.
Right, but I mean, even that is I think part of that is just a technological thing. It's because they are changing stuff. Like,
sure, with the phasing stuff now, which I honestly like. The first instance of the phasing stuff that I think you encounter is when there's like this sort of town and you go and rescue these dudes, and it goes from like being a ruined town to being a town that you can actually like interact with stuff in. And I didn't even notice that happening while I was doing it. I kind of realized after the fact, I'm like, oh wait,
but maybe that's
I wondered
totally
why
successful.
There was this empty hotel here before, and then I was like, I happened to walk back in there, like, oh, it's a bustling hotel filled with people selling me cheese.
Yeah, that one was I missed a lot of that too. It's a lot more obvious in
the Wrathgate.
Wrathgate, and also the area where you're capturing territory for the good aligned Death Knight crew.
Oh yeah, okay. I guess the Death Knight opening sequence.
Yeah.
Or oh no.
No, well, okay.
In the Death Knight
that
opening
also,
sequence, yeah.
But,
that's
no,
that,
I mean
yeah, that's
I mean in the
clear,
main
right.
game up in the top zone, but anyway.
Sure. So we've gotten off topic here, but I mean, I guess that's the thing. Like, to me, the story of Fallout 3 is the like main quest of rescuing your dad,
finding your father,
and purifier
and stuff,
which is just kind of boring. Like, I don't it, like. It's like, eh, you know. I mean, I thought of Oblivion as being boring because I played through the main story missions. It was like, all right, I'm going to go to the top of this tower and get a red thing. Now I'm going to go to the top of this tower and get a red thing. Now I'm going to go to the top of this tower and get a red thing. The end. Right? Like, that's sort of what Oblivion is like if all you do is the main story missions, right? And, like, maybe there was a lot going on in that world, and I could have had just as much fun with Oblivion as I had with Fallout 3. Probably not, because I'm more inclined to want to wander around scavenging things in a post-apocalyptic wasteland than I am a place with only one tree that's just planted every 5 feet. But, like... And also the fucking scaling of enemies. Damn you, scaling enemies in Oblivion. But like, you know, again, like I said, I think of World of Warcraft as having a lot of atmosphere. You think of it as having a lot of story, right? And, like, I guess you probably like World of Warcraft because all of the story is told from your perspective. They establish a narrator when you create your character, and they then do. They never, ever do anything with it ever again, right? Which, what this leads me to believe is that it's not important, and I think that's where you and I fundamentally disagree. Like, in my mind, if establishing a narrator is as simple as putting a line of text that says, you know, Alsace, France, 1967, mm-hmm. then that is not a strong thing, right? Like, you could accomplish exactly the same thing without there being this, like, meta information.
I don't know that you could, though. Like,
I mean, you could like, mm-hmm. you could do it really ham-fisted, like, boy, the weather sure is nice here in Alsace, yeah. France in 1967. Why am I talking like this?
but yeah, there are lots of, I mean, there's certainly more subtle ways to provide that same information in... from within the scene rather than meta, like you say.
I mean,
if you're going to be jumping around a lot, though, it becomes very confusing.
I mean, I guess I just kind of disagree. Like, I feel like Star Wars jumped all over the place, never told you where you were, and everyone understands it.
I don't think it didn't. I don't think you're right in that. I think there were title cards.
I don't think that there were. I mean, this is very easy to find out. I mean, there were these really, like, fucking video toaster-looking transitions between scenes, right? Like, star wipe, right? Which, to me, honestly, are kind of ingenious, because it's like, all right, we're totally somewhere else now.
Right.
Right? You know, and I don't know if there was any rhyme or reason to them. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it's like, okay, well, when the hobo runs the squeegee across the screen this way, that means we're going to Tatooine. And when it's a circle that opens out from the middle, that means we're going to the Death Star. Right? But, like, I don't think that that's how it worked.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I guess the trouble that I have with this point of view is that if establishing the narrator can be done with something so simple as a single word, yeah. then I do not feel like establishing that narrator is important.
And I just disagree. I feel like if you just completely disregard the notion of a point of view, it makes things weaker.
And you do not feel like in media one can assume an omniscient point of view unless explicitly told otherwise.
I just feel like it doesn't flow well. I feel like your inclination, I believe, if not told otherwise, is to start focusing on the point of view of the character that you're watching the most, right? Like,
I mean, maybe this is like a sort of low end of the autism spectrum thing, right? Like, maybe you empathize with a main character, and then that makes it weird for you to suddenly see something that the main character can't see, whereas I form no such bond.
I guess that's possible. Like, it's really strong for me when I don't have a context to know why you would know something else, or why there would be a scene that, like, has characters that you don't know about, or whatever.
Riff's also autistic, so it doesn't bother him. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe most of the people I talk to are just, like, super nerds that don't have whatever it is that makes them have a vagina, even though they're a man. I mean, be normal people who operate in society without crippling social anxiety and weird, awkward, I don't know. It's like sometimes when you think somebody's going to give you a hug and they don't. Right. You know, whatever.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know! It's because you're a normal person. what's all going on with this shit? All my pinwheels are spinning. I'm not using a Mac, so there aren't any pinwheels, but all of my Firefoxes are loading. So yeah, that's what we spent a good amount of time arguing about yesterday. We also argued about a bunch of other stuff. Starwed writes something between somebody handed me a sword behind inappropriate prepositions just now. He writes about a web page that discusses narrative and games, but also references tons of other essays on it and links to this thing that was written by some other MIT homo. Maybe that's it. Maybe this is what they taught you.
Wait, where did you see
at
this?
MIT in the at the very bottom of the whatchamacallit?
The radio bugbear questions.
Yeah, the radio bugbear questions. Kleinhoon says, in Left 4 Dead, there are elements of the environment that explain aspects of the world, but I don't know anyone who would claim that that game has a story. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, right? Like, does Gauntlet have a story?
I don't think so.
Not that anyone has ever provided.
So then, I mean, does Bad Dudes have a story? It's the story of two dudes who may or may not be bad enough to rescue President Ronnie. Yeah, yeah, I mean, like...
What is Bad Dudes?
Okay. Pac-Man doesn't have a story? Like, Pac-Man doesn't have a story. Right.
It doesn't have. I mean, like, I don't feel like games necessarily have to have stories, but I feel like our game.
But I'm asking.
Should have a story. It sure, does have a story.
Okay. I mean, I'm trying to establish. You keep sighing, and I feel like you feel like I'm like making fun of you, or like.
Yeah, I kind of do feel like you are. Yeah.
But I'm very much not. I mean, well, okay. I am making fun of you, but that's. I'm always making fun of you, but that's because you are a girl, right? Like, it's not because. I genuinely want to understand, and I feel like the process of talking this out might be interesting to our listeners who maybe think about this kind of things, right? This kind of thing. These kinds of things.
It's Henry Jenkins is the one that is the guy that from MIT that this is from. I haven't even opened the page, but I know.
But you know that, because you know that he is Henry III. Is he one of those pretentious dudes who pretends to have a... How weird. Solve Omnis says, consider that any movie containing an event that surprises you does not, by definition, have an omniscient narrator. Also, consider the distinction between narrative and narrator. I mean, I guess, to me, I assume that every movie is a narrative, and every narrative must, by definition, have a narrator, and I don't think that it is important to establish that narrator. Right? Because I feel like you can just assume, when you're reading a book, that it is... I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're just retreading the same ground over and over again now. Yeah. Like, yeah. But now that I can't just say the same things over and over again, I have no idea what to say. Let me see. Did we probably got some Twitter questions?
I believe we do.
Oh yeah, we also wanted to talk about that the spading community. Discovering how broken the Louvre is.
See, right. Now you're just making fun of the spading community.
No, I'm just making fun of Royal Tonberry. Like, he sent me this private message that was like, hey, now that it is known that the Louvre is broken and exactly how it's broken, do you think it's time for a revamp of the conservatory and gallery? And I'm like, hey, what the fuck does that have to do with the conservatory, right? Yeah. Like, now that this thing is broken, maybe we can fix this other shit I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, and, all right, so I'm going to list the way, it's going to be a short list, in which the Louvre mapping is broken. So, the way that works is that when you go into the Louvre in the gallery, like the painting that you go inside, by the way, on our wall is a handsome representation of that adventure that was made for us by Armack years ago. That's the M.C. Escher, yeah, the M.C. Escher painting with a little blurb of text underneath it.
That's fun.
Yeah. No, that's a cool thing. And anybody who likes KOL and then comes to our office will see that and think, thanks, Armack.
And then they'll write on it.
Sick burn. One time Armack also ruined a piece of Lycra Shampoo's art by writing on it with a Sharpie for no reason. And he's super embarrassed about it. And I'm sure that, A, he was excited. They were like, oh, they're talking about me on the radio. Oh, my greatest shame.
Oh, anyway. So cool.
No, don't worry, man. You've got a lot more things that are more embarrassing than that.
We'll have a 2-hour radio special someday.
We love you, buddy. You go into the Louvre, and what's happening in there is that it is building a random maze based on your this random seed that is associated. Like, every player has a field in their row on the player table that is a seed number for the random number generator for things that we randomize on a per-player basis. And I wonder if there are things that you could do. I bet there are things where by
figuring out what
figuring
your seed
out something
was.
For free that figure like finding some aspect of the game that's randomized based on your player random seed that you can establish for free and then analyzing the data and seeing how it correlates with other things if you could start doing some weird shit that would then predict other things that are randomized per player like
I bet you could it would be that like
it's something
you know,
for
that
the spading forum
wasn't it that's like a holy grail for the spading community right is to like figure out how to use
but
this information
like
that you
know,
don't know
they know in that thread they demonstrated that they know that there is a value that the random number generator uses as a seed to run stuff like this they but they, their contentions about what it is are just completely nuts. Like I don't understand. I don't understand how they came to some of the conclusions that they did.
It's interesting to see, like, because they're like the work that they did was really impressive, right? Like,
no,
super,
it was it
super
was,
impressive.
Yeah,
and
it,
like
it
some
required,
some of the conclusions
of,
that they drew
a lot of collaboration
are not
a lot of people.
Are not quite right, but like they're totally reasonable given the amount of information.
And
like,
they, and
have,
they
like,
figured
they have, like,
out
so little information to work from. To the begin with, and like just getting what they got was really, really impressive.
All right, so we got this. We had to figure out this trick, basically. Like the first thing that I ever did that was randomized on a per player basis was the bang potions from the NetHack dungeon, and the way that I
the way
that I did
that,
that
was
really,
sloppy.
Really sloppy. Yeah. I wrote a program to randomly generate a bunch of strings,
like 25 different arrays,
25 different arrays with 1 through 9 in different orders, and then I put those arrays into another array. And then I think I just did, like, a modulus on the player ID that basically if your player ID and another player's ID had the same remainder when divided by 9, you would have the same, or divided by 25, right? However many sets there were. I think maybe there were 25. If you had the same remainder when you divided by that, then you would have the same list of potions.
Also, there were, like, 2 potions that would uniquely determine what all the rest of your potions were if you figured out what they were.
Just just vagaries of the particular set of random numbers made it maybe easy to predict. And everybody was like, "Wow, that was so elegant."
Well, it stood unspaded for quite a while, like a year probably, before people like bothered to figure it out or whatever. Like, because I think they just assumed that it was completely random. Most people just assumed it was completely random. And,
and I feel like from an average player's perspective, it is completely random, right? Like,
I think I didn't. I was not privy to how it worked, and I had figured out that it was not completely random.
No. Well, you're extra double smarty pants.
No, I mean, I don't know. I think I just cared a lot about like being able to figure out stuff like that.
Sure.
At some point.
But also,
you're
extra double smarty pants. I mean, I wasn't saying that to be mean.
Yeah,
I'm
can't,
not saying
I can't
to be mean.
Trust anything you say anymore.
You're my boon companion, my bosom buddy.
There's a little bit of title text above your head that says sarcastically.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sarcastically. So ..
Yeah.
2 weeks ago in Alsace, France. By the way, when I was in Alsace 2 weeks ago, you're an asshole. So that was my first shot at randomizing something on a per player basis. That was prior to Ascension, right?
Yeah.
Realized, all right, every time somebody ascends, this is going to be the same. So, I mean, you know, didn't fix it until NS13, actually. But it was like, that's clearly not the right method for doing this. So then, when it came time for you to trudge up the Sorceress's Tower and fight those 6 monsters that each required a different combat item to defeat, I did a thing where it's like, well, if you load the tower script and you don't have these flags set, it just sets 6 flags with randomly generated monster IDs of these monsters. And then that's the, you know, if that flag is set, then it doesn't need to set it, you know, because it's just once the first time you go there. It picks what monsters are there and then stores that state, right? And then I was like, wait a minute. I bet there's a better way to do this. It's like, well, let's say we put all the monsters, all the possible tower monsters in an array, and then we seed the random number generator with something that is unique to the player and is not going to change between visits to the tower. And then we shuffle the array, having seeded the random number generator. That shuffle should result in the same list every time that they go there, provided that, and you know, there were things that I didn't know about this. There were things that, like, maybe this would only work on the same server, because maybe seeding the random number generator with a particular number behaves differently on, like, you know, a CPU with a different, like, whatever ID number CPUs
have, like, or
whatever.
Depending, like, on how they, what shuffle
there means. There were all sorts of potential issues that this was fraught with. The one that we encountered is that it just didn't work. You'd seed the random number generator, and then the shuffle function just would continue to behave randomly, right? It would be different every time you went in there. So we're like, well, okay, I don't know why that's doing that, but let's figure out an alternative methodology. So PHP has an array sort method where you sort an array by a user-defined comparison function. So, like, you know, you could sort an array if you had a function that tells you how much this person likes the Disney Afternoon series Tailspin, right? You could then feed it an array full of people, and then what the function would return was that list of people ordered by how much they like Tailspin, right? So that's what it's for, right? It's for if you want to order stuff, if you want to have some comparisons that aren't necessarily, like, you know, who's older or whatever, like, that you could just do, like, a flat out, like, or whose name comes first in the alphabet, right? Like, because that you could just do, like, a value sort.
Right.
So what I did was I wrote a comparison function that just returned either greater or lesser at random, right? So it just keeps doing coin flips. Every time it compares two values, it does a coin flip to determine which one is higher. So what I thought that did was randomize the array of stuff, right? But it turns out that the way that function works, the way that it steps through the array doing the comparisons, like, things that are at the top tend to stay at the top, I think, because they end up receiving fewer comparisons. Like, the elements that appear later in the array end up getting fewer comparisons made against them than elements earlier in the array. And so what you end up with is, like, if you have an array of six things, say, and say the angry cow is number six, if you use this particular method to shuffle that array, element number six has a 50% chance of being element number six after the shuffle is run, and then it has, like, a 25% chance of being element number 5, and then it has a 12.5% chance of being element number 4, and slowly down and down and down, and it will never ever get to the bottom, no matter how long it could not make it, because I think eventually it stops doing the iterations, right? And I think I tried this. I think I tried, because everybody was like, wow, it really seems like the angry cow has a tendency to totally cock-block you at the very top of the tower. And I'm like, you're imagining it, you know? And I'm, like, reading this literature about how people develop these superstitions in games, and I'm like, oh, players, you're so cute. You're so cute with your primitive wards against the evil eye as you ascend the steps to the tower. It's adorable how you think you understand things. But then, nope, turns out, totally right. Just happened that the way that algorithm worked, the cow tended to be towards the top of the tower. So then we finally figured out what was going on, and it was that the shuffle function, which is a genuine array randomizer that you know, sort of passes the saving throw against shit like that, does not use the math module random number generator, which is what we use everywhere. It's mtrand. So to seed the mt random number generator, you do mtsrand and then feed it a value. It uses the old school random number generator, the one which is not based on the Texas Titty Twister or whatever. It's the Mersenne Twister, but it was funny to say. So I did base a random number generator on the Texas Titty Twister, and I also... Also, most of our database normalization is based on the milk, milk, lemonade method. So if you seed the old school random number generator and then run the shuffle command, then what you get is exactly what we wanted, which is a genuinely randomized array with consistent visit-to-visit behavior, and that's that, right? So what we sometimes don't do is reseed the random number generator after that. So if we ever shuffle anything, everything that happens later in the script will also have totally predictable behavior, which is weird. It almost never matters, because it almost always does it, like, right before one thing happens and then the script ends, right? But the Louvre, the randomization of the maze in the Louvre was done by Xenophobe when we had not yet figured out the whole shuffle uses the old school random number generator, and so it is done using that flawed user function sort that just returns a random thing. In fact, the rooms are sorted by how much they like the Disney Afternoon Television show Tailspin. That's why I brought that up as an example. Is
right.
We looked at each of them and we sort of ranked them in terms of, well, you know, this one has prints in it. Actually, I'm thinking of the Haze Maze, the Purple Haze Maze. Yeah, because right. Prince isn't in the Louvre. Do you think that Socrates, as he was dying, would have enjoyed watching an episode of the Disney Afternoons program Tailspin?
I think he probably would have.
More so than the people in that diner at night.
I feel like Socrates would have been fascinated to watch a television, regardless of what was on.
Probably true, yeah. Venus on the Half Shell, probably not so impressed. She was like, I've been to Olympus. I don't know if that's true. I mean, I know it's not true, but I don't know if it's plausible to anyone, right? Is Venus Greek?
Venus?
Or is Venus Roman?
Roman.
Roman. All right, so she probably didn't go to Olympus.
Did the Romans not have a parallel?
I don't know.
She's Aphrodite.
Valhalla.
In Greek.
No, but where did the Roman gods live?
Oh,
Poughkeepsie.
Olympus, and the other one was...
it's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. They must have had something.
Imaginary. Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
Mount St. Helens of Troy.
Mount Fuji.
Mount St. Vincent de Paul. Mount Saint Etienne. Well, that was an hour.
How did that happen?
Let's take a little bit of a break. Because,
seriously?
Well, I could.
It's
fine.
It's been an hour.
We can keep doing a show. I was just going to do a music break so that I could go watch the feature film "How to Drain Your Dragon." I'm going to go drain my dragon.
I see. Go ahead. Give him some music.
All right. We'll play a single song. It's 3 minutes and 34 seconds long. So I'll be back after peeing in less than 3 minutes and 34 seconds. You know, something that I realized is that maybe this also demonstrates my complete inability to understand the concept of narrative. I just, like, walked away without finishing that story about the Louvre. So, Louvre is broken because, according to these Spaders, it's broken. Really, just according to Royal Tonberry. I shouldn't.
James Spader.
Yeah, James Spader. Actually, it's pronounced Spotter. That was a conversation I overheard when I worked at Intel. It's like listening to the woman in the cubicle across from mine explaining to one of her friends how she found out that James Spader's name is actually pronounced Spotter, which is complete bullshit. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck, woman in the year 2000? Why didn't you look that up on some internet sites that didn't exist yet? I don't know. IMDb. Where would you go to find out how to pronounce James Spader's name? Really, I think you would just look at it and think, it's obviously fucking Spader.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Louvre. So what happens is... Yeah, Royal Tonberry says it's broken. What happens is... And what's weird is that, like, Werebear, for instance, had a kind of intuitive sense of this. He was like, oh, is that why, like, muscle is usually down, down, up? And I'm like, weird, muscle is usually down, down, up? Crazy. See? The player base with their adorable superstitions. Again, they turn out to be founded completely in the concrete wall of some temple of reality. I completely lost the thread of that analogy.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing there.
Yeah, no. Just foundering. Foundering and floundering. Remember Flounder from The Little Mermaid? He was pretty cool. Remember that crab? I think his name was Sebastian. Was he the one that played the... I was going to say didgeridoo, because all primitive instruments are the same in my mind. The steel drums. I think the steel drums are a primitive instrument. I think the count is primitive. It's usually brown people playing them. That's what I'm saying, man.
Are you saying that brown people are by necessity primitive?
No, I'm just saying that most of the ones that I saw as a kid were, like, in National Geographic playing steel drums.
I see.
Because I subscribe to Rasta National Geographic, so I'm mostly focused on the steel drum communities of the world.
I see.
These steel drums aren't really Rasta.
Yeah.
Yeah. My boy, I'm as confused as I am offensive. Anyway, so basically there were some tendencies that bear out over time in the maze that just makes it not quite as random as it should be. I do not personally believe that it necessarily needs to be fixed. Right? Like, and that's a question. Like, if it had an impact on runs for people who knew about it versus people who don't, should we fix it? If it made it so certain classes, it was optimal for them to try and figure out where their main stat gain was in run, but not other classes, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's like, for muscle, you have like
it's
a 30%
chance.
Public
knowledge
of it being
at this point,
right.
Too. So it's, you know, like.
It's public knowledge, but it's weird metagame public knowledge, you know? Which, yeah. There's a question of whether that is a big deal or not.
You know, back when you did not, you know, like for most of the history of the game, when we did not list the effects that a potion had, like, you had to have used a potion to know what it did, or you had to look it up somewhere, right? And fairly early in the game, there were no comprehensive lists of those kinds of things. So someone bothering to collect everything and use it and, like, write down what it did was at an advantage over other people who did not know that information, right? Like, that's the advantage of being a spade, right? Like, the knowing things.
Right. I mean, then this thing gets built into Mafia, which it is now. They've written a Louvre maze predictor.
Right.
The Amazing Eye says, "Hey, Jick, I'm totally stoked that you read four of my questions on Monday's show, but for the record, my name is not The Amazing, it's The Amazing Eye. Perhaps the I got lost next to the colon." I know my eye always gets lost next to a colon.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either. I said it, hoping that it would be funny.
I mean, there's something about, you know, colons and
yeah, looking
eyeballs.
Looking somebody deep in the red eye.
Where was that
brown eye
question?
What I meant is brown eye. All the way at the bottom of Radio Bugbear questions, of course. Let's look at what's coming on the Twitter. Anyway, Louvre, God damn it, I keep not finishing the story. I don't think it needs to be fixed. It would be literally like 10 keystrokes to make it genuinely random. But what do we gain by doing that, you know?
It would also potentially change everybody's Louvre map.
Oh, right, yeah. Fixing it now would actually change the Louvre map for current players, which I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting that there's a pretty compelling reason not to change it. Yeah.
Although, you know, that is not a huge sacrifice.
Sure. I mean, we could just say, oh man, there was a wizard in the library. And because
with a lead pipe.
In the library. Yeah, the wizard in the library with the lead pipe. And the lead pipe was so long that it reached all the way up to the gallery to cast his spell. Because that thing is not in the library. A library is not where you go to look at paintings. A library is where you go to masturbate in the bathroom. Or maybe that was just me. My library had a really sexy bathroom. Stop with the blank stares, man. You know you did it. Yeah, no. Tom Smizzle writes, I'm assuming you've already all played Portal, but tell everyone that Valve is giving it away for free right now. Crazy. Yeah, and it doesn't matter what kind of computer you have, unless you're one of those Linux assholes.
I downloaded it on my Mac, and maybe this is not a common experience, but starting up the game, like, you know, it starts telling you like what keys do what. The mouse did nothing. Like, there was no mouse look. You couldn't, like, just did nothing.
Are you sure you were using the mouse and not the goggles?
Yes. The mouse, it does nothing. Yeah, like, if I hit escape and brought up the menu, the pointer would pop up, and I could use that to select stuff on the menu. But in the game itself, the mouse did nothing, so I couldn't, like, look around. I was always facing one direction.
Yeah, it would have been really... Super it would have been really tricky to play Portal without being able to...
Yeah.
So, you know, that I would was go so far as to say impossible.
I'm hoping that there's something that I can do to change that.
So, the pretentious artist said that Portal didn't work for him on his computer either. What the fuck, Val?
Yeah, I saw it. It was he had a weird issue where as long as he was looking at the floor, everything was fine. But if he looked up, all the lights in the room just bloomed out and everything just went white. Like the character was being blinded.
Maybe did you start it in eyedrops mode? Like the mode where your character starts out having had an eye exam that day where they put those dilating drops in your eyes?
They like were when I had that done, you know, when I got an eye test or whatever, they were really worried about me going outside in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really bad for you or whatever, and like I just did and it just wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm over here, hot stuff.
I don't know. Maybe you can damage your eyes or something, but it just didn't. It was not that bright. It was like
I've never let them do it to me. Like I
really?
Yeah, because it's always like, do you have any more work to do today? I'm like, yes.
Like, it was not that big a deal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I'll do it next time. It'll be fun.
Giant. Like it looks really cool, though,
that
too.
Ron Jeremy-ass gum-chewing motherfucker that did my last eye exam. Man, I don't trust that dude. I'm going somewhere else.
Did he, like, store his gum in your eye while he was testing the other eye?
Yeah. Which I felt was, like, okay, right? Because, I mean, that
helps.
Because maybe he analyzed what it tasted like after it came back out, and that helps him predict eyeball diseases.
Predict where the...
Wow. This tastes like you've got
rooms
eye
are in
cancer.
The Louvre.
Do you think anyone's eyes taste like eye candy?
Eye cancer?
Do you think anyone's eyes taste like eye Claudius? Or eye robot? I can't wait till I get an iRobot. New from Apple.
Yeah, just don't get the first generation ones.
Yeah, we figured
they're the ones most likely to kill their masters.
It's true.
You don't think it's going to be the later generation ones that have had more of a time to
and
figure out what fuckers we are?
And more saw blades instead of hands?
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's your own fault if you build a fucking robot that has saw blades instead of hands.
That is true.
Like, I got no sympathy for a dude that builds a robot like that, because it's like, you know what?
I
would be mad if that robot
didn't
kill you.
Those robots that are powered by meat? What the hell kind of bad decision is that, man?
Yeah. Soren Trigg says, Brimstone/plexiglass/stainless outfits/tattoos. Come on, Jake, you only have to draw tattoo art. Please, I will love you forever. You love me forever anyway, Soren Trigg. Cyber34 says, wolfire.com/humble. These guys hit over $1 million. What do you think about it? I'm happy for them. Like, it was like a charity drive thing, right? So, like, yeah, they raised $1 million for charity. Cool. All Night Diner says, yeah, here's a question. Why y'all faggots? Ha 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 ha. Why us all faggots what? Damien P. says, any chance of being able to associate a familiar with a custom outfit? Would be nice to get my plus item familiar when I put on my plus item gear. What I would suggest is you write a macro that puts on the item and swaps out the familiar. That is what I would suggest. You know, there is no problem that cannot be solved with the judicious application of pornography. I mean macros.
Pornography.
There isn't a word that you can make out of those two things that is funny.
Pornomacro.
Porno macrame.
Porno macrame.
I got in trouble in the 70s for making porno macrame.
Yeah.
Did you ever have one of those things? I don't know what this is. I don't understand this. It was a thing that I had that I only ever saw like cartoon characters made out of it, but it was like a bunch of little globs of melted plastic in different colors put together to make a kind of a wall hanging thing, and is really sharp. If you touch it, it's all jaggedy. Did you ever have one of those? I had a Tweety Bird, and I feel like one of my friends had a Bugs Bunny that was made out of the same thing. It was just like a thing from the 70s. And I don't know if it was something that somebody made, or, you know, like if it was a thing where you'd get a kit and you'd lay all the things out on like a pattern and then you'd iron it. I should ask my mom where that came from, because maybe she made it. That seems like the kind of thing that she would have done for me as a kid that she liked. Yeah, that's what macrame reminds me of. I also really wish, maybe it's in a box somewhere in my garage, but I had this stained glass R2-D2 when I was a kid that I was fucking crazy about.
Yeah?
I was crazy about it. I literally went ape shit every time I thought about it or saw it or rubbed my penis on it. Literally ape shit. That's how good this R2-D2 thing was. It was a stained glass R2-D2. Like, just think about how cool that... Like, just listen. Stained glass R2-D2. Because, like, nothing kids like more than church.
Three-dimensional R2-D2 made out of stained glass.
R2-D2. Yeah.
Was it three-dimensional, or was it just a... Was it just a window hanging?
Well, I mean, yes, it was three... I mean, it was technically three-dimensional. Like, a sheet of paper is three-dimensional, right? So it was like a metal frame.
Flat in a pane?
It was like the, you know, like the stained glass saber-toothed lime that Killer Zombie Monkey made.
It was 2D.
It was like a kit, right? Yeah, no, it was two-dimensional. Yeah, it wasn't like a... I guess, like that horrible stained glass ceiling fan was a three-dimensional stained glass thing. Like a...
Wait, so
a
it was a kit,
lamp.
So it was like one of those plastic things.
I don't think it was plastic. I think it was actual glass. It was like metal, and then it had these little beads. Yeah. Maybe it was plastic. Can you make plastic that'll melt down to translucent? It was really heavy.
Was it?
Yeah, which leads me to believe that it actually was. And I think I actually looked it up on the internet, and it was stained glass. And maybe I could have bought another one for like $40. Maybe I should have. I think this has come up before. Does anybody have $40? I need to borrow $40 for something really important. I'll get it back to you if I can stop going ape shit long enough to earn more money.
Seems dubious.
Xtanstic says, hey guys, have you given any thought about what Riff will do when you guys head to Germany? He's bound to do something bad to the player base that he hates. I would imagine that his plan hasn't gotten much further than masturbate in every room of the office.
Yeah. How many places can I find to put my balls?
Roy, you might want to also not be here while we're gone.
He too
and
is going to Germany.
Nobody else actually works when I'm out of town, so I don't need to worry about warning anyone else. Oh, boy. Gleebs282 says, it's as simple as doing a goddamn fade-out and back into a new scene. You don't need meanwhile... ... Yeah, Gleebs agrees with me, and that dude looks good in a dress, which means his opinions are valid.
That was creepy.
I wouldn't say that he looks good in a dress. I would say that I will never be able to burn that image out of my brain, no matter how many horrible things I look at. I tried. I was like, oh, God, I got to go set my desktop wallpaper to Tub Girl.
Yeah, or go look at something awful.
Or play a Rotten.com.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. It is actually what I meant.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I feel like Doc Galactic met the guy that did Rotten.com and he was an asshole. I feel like that's a story.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
Even a little bit.
Maybe he and Tom Fulp could join a club.
4chan.
What, the 4chan guy's just like a 15-year-old kid, though, right?
No, not the guy. I'm talking about the places you could go to find things that you shouldn't look at.
I found that 4chan, just looking at the random image board, there were so many more super hot naked girls than there were, like, disgusting gore photos, mm-hmm. that it was, like, overall, like, 70-80% boner, I think. Sometimes, I mean, to be fair, some of the gore also gave me a boner. It depends on the flavor of gore. Took the Bloody Mess perk in Fallout 3, so it creates a lot of gore. Pretty much constantly having a boner the whole time that I play.
I know Al Gore gives
a
you a
boner. Almost, it's weird. Almost every limb, if you blow it off, kind of looks like a vagina underneath.
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No. There's a lot of holes. They're like veins or throats, you know? But, like, kind of wow. looks like something that's glistening and red
so
and has a hole in it. Looks
obviously,
like a
what we could learn by this is that in a previous life, you were a Viking.
Yes, I was a Viking, in fact.
And not just when you're sleeping.
That's true. Fuck. I wonder if that's a... I wonder if this person's Twitter handle, FFFFFFUUUUUUUCK, is a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest reference, or...
It's F-U-M and Dragon.
Okay, it's F-U-M and Dragon, but that's fine. But I wonder if his Twitter name is a reference to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or just an accident. Did I ever tell you about my drink recipes that I made up?
I don't think so.
I invented a drink called the Colonel Matterson, which you get a glass and you say the glass is the ice, and you put some ice in the glass, and then you say the ice is the gin, and you put some gin in the glass. Uh-huh. So the gin is the tonic, and you put some tonic in there. You say the lime is Mexico, and you put a lime in it. That's how you make a Colonel Matterson. And then I invented another drink, which is the Ruckley, where you say fucked a wife and then drink a beer. Those are my good drinks that I invented.
I don't think you're allowed to make drinks that are just other drinks with stuff you say.
Well, okay, fine. I won't tell you any more entertaining stories. I'm allowed to do whatever I want, hot stuff. I was invincible. I was like 23 years old when I invented those drinks.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was very clever. And if I had had a website at the time, I totally would have written that on the website. And
I'm
if
sure
I had had
would.
A blog at the
I'm
time,
sure
I would have
would.
Blogged about it. And if I had had a video game at the time, I probably would have put it into a video game. And if I had been a filmmaker, I probably would have made a film of me and my friends sitting around talking. Because, guys, we're really funny. They should totally make a movie that's just us sitting around talking. And the movie would have sucked, and everyone would have hated me for the rest of my life. Talked about how lame I was. I don't know where I was going with that. If I had had Twitter, if Twitter had been a thing, or if I had invented Twitter, I would have Twittered about my funny drink, the Colonel Matterson, and furthermore, the Ruckley. I recently uncovered an email that I had sent to somebody where I was, like, complaining about how martinis were no good.
Wow.
I know.
That's
unusual. I know. What the fuck, dude? What was the matter with me? You know what was the matter with me?
Did you
is
also
I was
complaining about cigars.
I was a guy who had a disease
whiskey.
Where he had never had. And there's a lot of kids with this disease. The disease where you've never had a dirty martini. The olive brine just does something, man. It just fixes it. You pour some gin in a glass, there are a few things wrong with that. But there's nothing wrong with that can't be fixed with a little bit of olive brine.
How much olive brine?
Quite a bit, actually. You know, to taste. I'm sorry, I stuttered. Taste. FUIM a Dragon says, is Hot Stuff one of those LARPers? Stop metagaming. You weren't there. You don't know that. If it's single player and makes sense, who cares? Well, I think the question is whether or not it makes sense or whether it doesn't make
like
sense and people are just okay with it because they don't know any better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like you fill in gaps all the time in sort of spotty storytelling, right? Like,
sure. And I feel like you, like, I cannot say that you're wrong. Because I don't think that you are, right? Like, just in the same way that you can't say that I'm wrong when I say there's something about this music that sounds bad, because most people won't notice it, right?
But I guess,
for the one
guess
person
what I'm
that
saying,
does, it'll be much better.
What I'm
it'll
saying
be much
is,
better if we actually apply
yeah,
some craft like, to it, and you know how to apply that craft, and I don't.
The game is, up to this point, the way that we've sort of designed and built it, very much seeming like it's coming from the point of view of the player, right?
I mean, we have not, to be fair, we have not yet done an opening cutscene.
No, I know, we haven't, but, like...
So here's
the,
a question.
The way that you're interacting with the game, like, we're giving you agency, and, like, there's all kinds of stuff where it's just your perspective, right? And so it just, like, I feel like if we're going to change that in a meaningful way, we should do it with intention instead of just randomly, you know? That's all I really care about.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's certainly not going to hurt anything to arrive at something that satisfies both of us, right? That's just going to mean that for the 9 people who don't give a shit, like me, the experience will be good, and for the 1 out of 10 people who do, like you, the experience will be good.
And there's only going to be 10 people who ever play
right,
this,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, and one of those guys would probably be bothered by the music with it in that way that bothered me,
sure.
The weird timing issues before, and...
As
what
long as
fuck,
we still
Flash?
Get to see those two dudes playing Kick the Barrel.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yep. It kind of makes you wish there was a dude in that barrel. Because, like, it's way more fun to watch two dudes kick a barrel if there's a third dude in the barrel.
That's true.
You know, and then later on they can make a joke about this is your turn in the barrel. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's dude fucking.
Yeah, I got it.
Which is always funny.
It's part of your
dude
club.
Dude fucking. Yeah, the Rainbow Dude Fucker Club. Rainbow Dude Fucker Society. All right.
Gonna say something else, I believe, but now I don't.
I was gonna say something else, or you were gonna say something else.
The music.
Sorry, do I have you confused with me again?
You were saying something about the music.
It happens sometimes. Hot stuff. We're such boon companions. We're such bosom buddies that I can't tell where I end and you begin.
Boon companions.
Boon companions.
I guess that's better than being like Boon's companions.
No, we're Bartles and James. Yeah. We're Seagram's Golden Wine Coolers companions. I was telling this girl the other day how I keep some wine coolers around my house to help me seduce young girls, and she said, yeah, I can see how they might give you the courage that you need to go about that.
That's a good dig. A good turnabout.
All right, so this 108 syllables, it's not 108 syllables, a thing about, I don't know. Takenoko wrote into Radio Bugbear, is there a reason why the Gremlin Juice has a 3% drop rate? The other comparable gate items that for that have a 20-30% drop rate. Thanks. Yeah, that was a little weird. That is a little off.
It's, yeah.
I mean, I think
sure.
Because people were because Gremlin Juice is a lot more powerful, or at least we thought that it was a lot more powerful,
right,
than the other items, we didn't want it to have a really high drop rate, but I feel like it's probably not actually that powerful in the newly inflated context.
Didn't we also... do something with, like, if that is actually one of your gates, there's, like, one drop of it that is higher?
I don't know.
I thought we did.
I don't know if we ever actually did that.
I forget.
Hot stuff, this is a question that you'll agree with. Yeah. First Boy on the Moon says, Andrew WK, more like Andrew WTF.
Yeah.
All right, so we saw Andrew WK perform...
Was that a performance, or was that just some sort of, like, acceptance speech for an hour before he got his award?
That's kind of funny, actually. So, I don't, you know, I talked about this a little bit on Monday. I don't actually remember to what extent I did, but, like, Andrew WK is, like, a musician guy, apparently, but he just gave some speeches. He told some stories. He did some really goofy affectations and weird behaviors. Hot Stuff was...
singularly
yeah.
unimpressed.
Hot Stuff was like a ceiling cat in his unimpressedness. I don't know if ceiling cat is unimpressed. I think ceiling cat is watching you masturbate. Hot Stuff was watching Andrew WK masturbate.
It kind of seemed like it was. Well, just while he was on stage, it seemed like he was kind of just masturbating. Right?
I don't know, man.
That was very uncompelling to me. You know, I don't know anything about the guy at all. I had zero preconceptions about him going into it.
Me too, for what it's worth.
You didn't think he existed.
No, I thought that maybe... my first experience hearing about Andrew WK was it being described as the Andrew WK persona.
I see.
Right. So, yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. And so I just, I was like, all right, maybe this is some kind of joke, right? Like, and we, I totally did talk about this on Monday.
Okay.
Because there's that fucking terrible comedian that pretends to be a conservative congressman.
Oh, Representative somebody. Richard something other?
Yeah.
Richard Martin.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, anyway, it's fucking terrible.
I mean, I don't, like, that at least is a character that he's sticking to, you know? I don't think it's particularly funny, but...
I mean, I just turn it off. Andrew WK, like, maybe... Like, I guess maybe I wouldn't want to watch him do that again. I wouldn't want to watch it. I wouldn't want to see another performance where he was just doing the weird shit, you know, where I'm going to fix
my hair
for
30
seconds.
But I think that's just what he does.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it made me pretty happy, right? And, like, you felt like it was super stupid to, like, get the crowd chanting excitedly about lunch.
Yeah.
Whereas I thought, you know what? Lunch is awesome. I've chanted about stuff that was way less cool than lunch. Chanting about lunch, you know, like, I am in a room full of people who's really fucking happy about lunch, and that's kind of awesome. You know? That's my take. That is my take. And you just thought, and, like, I mean, I feel like you definitely, like, were approaching this from a perspective of, like, detached irony and not necessarily a level of open-heartedness that they would have liked you to have, right? And you thought it was really stupid, and I could definitely see feeling like that if I had been under a slightly, if I had been in a slightly different mood.
I feel like I was all ready for it to be authentic, and it seemed inauthentic to me. Like, ostensibly, he was, like, the most authentic person there, but it seemed like the least authentic person.
I would say that the most authentic performance that I saw was probably Marc Maron, or at least I believed that it was the most authentic.
I don't know, yeah.
It might be a contrived kind of persona.
That's tough.
I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, clearly, the guys that are... The guys whose podcasts were just, like, bullshitting with one another, that's probably as authentic as it gets, right? Like, just dudes being funny in a totally unprepared manner. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, like, he read some crazy emails from his mom, and I'm like, wow, I have gotten emails like that from crazy bitches before. But did he make those up? Has he been saving those for 5 years, and he reads them every act saying, this is an email that I got from my mom last week? Or was that really a thing?
Right.
Because it felt like it was really a thing, you know?
Yeah. Did I read the text messages from my mother on the air? I don't remember if it was email.
Yeah, it was emails. But I think you did finally, we talked about it for a long time, and then you read them where the only sane conclusion was that your mom had, like,
drugs.
Yeah, had just eaten some pot brownies before she started using her computer.
Yeah.
Casey Wiederman wrote, Jick, if there was a way to get familiar equipment that was longer and harder than the arena but guaranteed the right item, familiar equipment would be relevant in hardcore runs. Longer, harder, hardcore runs. That's my favorite kind of sentence. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that you don't want to risk turns. You know, we could also make the arena, we could triple the experience gains in the arena, since familiar experience is so easy to come by now.
Yeah, I don't know that that would matter. I don't know if that would make it any better.
You don't think it would ever be worth spending the turns on that?
I don't know. There's the advantages of having heavy familiars is minimized in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And there's also just a lot of ways to level up your familiars.
Evangeon Q says, when going to a player's character sheet and clicking view their clan, could you add the rumpus room furnishings, VIP furnishings, and basement info into the details? Yeah, I don't know why that's not on show clan.
That's a good question.
But it should be. And it would be if I'd thought of it. I'm going to put this into the never-ending, ever-growing grandson.
I mean,
of
I think
Radio
part TV. Of it is that ShowClan was written before any of those other things existed and just hasn't been updated.
Yeah. Yep. I think that that's true. Haste Bro says, the iceberg lid is the only squeezable item of the month that does not have a conditional form. Why? Did the iceberg lid come out after Ascension?
Conditional form.
Yeah. There's no shirt or chef staff in it.
Oh, I see.
I mean, chef staves didn't exist
right
when the iceberg lid rolled. Shirts did, I guess, but we just didn't think of it.
Yeah, I think we avoided slots that people didn't necessarily have.
Wow, either the internet is fucked up, but I'm not losing the streams, or something is wrong with AOL Instant Messenger, because I'm losing my connection and reconnecting left and right.
Huh.
Eponymous says, it's been like 6 years. Are we ever going to get a clue about opening the sunken chest? I've given you so many clues.
Yeah.
In fact, one clue has been embedded into each radio show since the... And it really... It is frustrating that nobody has solved the puzzle yet, because it is really tiring trying to figure out another clue to embed in each of these radios. I figured that I would maybe have to do 10 or 12 radio shows before somebody solved it, but Jesus fucking Christ, it's been like, what, 200 radio shows? 300 radio shows? How many radio shows have we done? 200 radio shows? 300 radio shows?
Are you going to help me with the with solving the McSweeney's puzzle?
The what?
I don't know. Are you going to try puzzle? And solve it?
Sure.
If it's anything like that David Blaine bullshit, I don't even want to try.
I think it's going to be similar.
You think it's going to be exactly like that David Blaine
bullshit? I think it'll be different and harder and annoying in similar ways.
What is this?
McSweeney's published a book which has, I think, 12 or 13 chapters. And in the book, there are messages hidden in some way that indicate the location of 12 bejeweled numbers that have been buried around America. They're like emerald encrusted numbers that have been buried around the country.
It's an intriguing.
It is. Where you go to get emerald encrusted numbers.
The book has been out for about a month and a half, and none of them have been found yet. So,
I wonder how people are approaching that. I wonder if there are people sharing.
There are. Data. There's definitely some like wikis and stuff.
And is there progress being made on any of them?
I have not looked into it at all. I've not yet gotten the book. It's in the mail.
I feel like with a digital version of the book, it would be a lot easier.
What would be a lot easier?
Like trying to figure out patterns of text or whatever, like if there were any, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rever Killer says, can we have a Jack in the Omelet with suboptimal gains, of course? Yeah, that's... There are a lot... We've gone back to a situation where we have a lot of familiar hatchlings that are piling up over ascensions. The Nemesis familiars, which I did not know about.
I had a thought about this, actually, that I haven't brought up, but
okay.
I was wondering what you might think about it. What would you think about making it so that every familiar hatchling that didn't have some other use, if you tried to use it, you would attempt to put it in your terrarium, and it would have a fight with the other familiar that you already have, causing it to leave, but giving your other familiar, you know, an experience point or something.
Huh.
So they become consumable to add weight to your current familiars, with taking no adventure cost or anything.
Huh.
So that just immediately makes every one of them. Including Mr. Store Familiar Items. No. Except for, of course, Mr. Store Familiar Items.
Yeah, stuff that's it'd be another line in the Familiar Spindler. I mean, yeah, that seems like a reasonable way to deal with it. I mean, alternatively, there aren't that many of them that you get multiples of.
Well, I mean, you can get an infinite number of goats, right? Like...
Yeah, but you do it on purpose. It's not like with the Nemesis quest, if you want to do the Nemesis quest over and over again, you're just going to keep having these familiars pile
up. Sure.
It's like the Gru, right? Like, you're going to get the Gru.
But that's consumable.
Right. We made it consumable because it was piling up. Now we've got a handful of other things that are piling up.
What about the fuzzy dice and stuff? Did we do anything with those?
Oh, yeah. No. People have been complaining about that, too.
Okay. Well, so this is an option. I don't know.
Yeah. Mr. Adventurer says, are there any long-time puzzles that are still unsolved, like anything from back in KOL's early days or even the recent past? Yeah, they still haven't opened the sunken chest.
I mean, there's at least one hidden challenge that only a few people and groups have solved and other people are still working on.
It is weird that has not become common knowledge.
It makes me happy. Yeah. It makes me very, very happy.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing about the sunken chest, I was just kidding, but this thing is real.
Yeah. there's at least one trophy that is added to the other seven that has not been discovered.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. I didn't know that there was still an undiscovered trophy.
Yep. Well, I mean, there's
eight
undiscovered trophies. No.
No?
It's the... we're miming things, and yeah, it is impossible for me to mime this.
A terrible game. It's the one where you have timpani drums made out of a rainbow.
Yep, that's it.
Huh. Weird.
Yep.
Okay. Night Cheezel says, "Yo, JNS, so you liked Arrested Development. Did you get to see Todd Margaret yet? The pilot is widely available. I think you may enjoy it. Peace."
Huh.
Peace. I've not even heard of it. Omega Tank says, "So in response to last week's erotic KOL fanfiction joke, I've decided to write some bwahahaha. Here's some Jick/Scully stuff. Working on sleaze mechanics, eh, Scully?" whispered Jick. "More wanting to explore the slime tube, but I'm all out of chamois," breathed Scully. "Well," said Jick, running a finger across Scully's smooth bone dome. "You could always fight Mother in the slime hole."
Bone
I
dome?
I fucked that up.
Bone dome?
Bone dome.
Does,
yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that one is...
Minty Giant says, "Finally got all the star coins in Super Mario Wii. Guess what? Doesn't do shit."
Well, I mean, you collected them.
Yeah.
that was what it fun. Did. It completed your collection. Wait, what?
Fineldar says, "The slash equip command does not work for custom outfits, but if it did, it would take a lot of tedium out of doing the basement, so please make it so. If someone names their outfit the name of a piece of equipment, just have it default to that piece, only foreseeable problems being..." Use slash outfit.
Yeah.
Slash outfit lets you equip custom outfits. Why would you expect slash equip to... Yeah, man.
Maybe
open
I mean,
your eyes before you say... How did you even see the keyboard to type that question? Your friggin' eyes are closed, Fineldar.
I mean,
jeez.
There is chat command documentation, and that's got to be in there.
I know. That's the thing about documentation is that no one reads it.
I read it pretty religiously.
CD Moyer totally just raped that notion
out
of my face.
It's like just today, 2,000 pages of documentation have been read.
Yeah,
whatever.
Take that, Jick's face.
Yeah, I like it when
maybe that's what I'll
battles
do.
All
you guys
of our
are in Germany,
fights
rewrite
with
the document.
No, it is so great. Whenever he sees somebody in dev making a claim that he could verify, he just produces data, and he always just pwns us.
Yeah,
all of us.
That is true.
It's amazing. Evangeion Key says, "Why does Sneaky Pete's breath spray have a mysticality requirement instead of a moxie requirement? Because accessories have a mysticality requirement. That is how they work." Super Dimension Man says, "Have any of you cool cats played Just Cause 2? If not, I'd suggest at least playing the Steam demo. If you like the idea of a game where you can latch onto a helicopter in flight with a grappling hook gauntlet, shoot the co-pilot, throw the pilot to his death before hijacking it, just stealing one from a helipad is so passé these days."
I don't know that I care about grappling hooks.
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody's got such a hard-on for grappling hooks.
I mean, Bionic Commando, one of my favorite NES games.
Uh-huh.
Fundamentally, a grappling hook game.
Yeah. And you get the hook shot in a lot of games, I guess.
You know what was cool? You know what was a cool game with a grappling hook was Rygar. That game was terrible, but I really liked it.
I don't remember Rygar.
Yeah, Rygar for the NES was a weirdly bad but weirdly compelling game.
Huh.
I remember being really confused by the differences between the Nintendo version and the arcade version.
Yeah, the arcade version was a really straightforward platformer.
Yeah.
That was just like level after level after level. I think I played through it and beat it on an emulator, and it was pretty fun.
Huh.
It was a game that they had at Duke's, the like sort of little diner where I would play video games. They had it for a little while, but not for very long. Man, you know what game I miss? Hippodrome. It's a game that, like, nobody's heard of, but it was like this sort of fantasy fighting game.
You sure it wasn't Hungry Hungry Hippodrome?
Yeah, it was Hungry Hungry Tina Turner. It was a game about feeding marshmallows to Tina Turner.
Wasn't Kathleen Turner Overdrive?
No.
I played a little bit of 3D Dot Heroes.
Oh, is that out?
Yep.
Huh.
It's pretty good. It's almost exactly original Legend of Zelda made by people who really, really enjoyed original Legend of Zelda.
Huh.
Is that for the PS3?
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder if there's anywhere open that I can buy that on the way home.
I've been playing some Sword and Poker 2.
Mm-hmm. For the iPhone.
For the iPhone. Its curve of difficulty is a little bit steeper than the first one. And
it just wants you to do a lot of grinding.
It does, and I don't really
want
to.
You know what?
To.
It could be worse. Play Etrian Odyssey, and then you'll never complain about grindy video games ever again.
Etrian Odyssey?
Etrian Odyssey for the Nintendo DS.
I've not heard of it.
Yep. It's a game where you have to make your own map.
Okay.
Kind of cool. You draw it with a stylus.
Yeah.
And then in order to beat level 1, in order to beat the lowest level monsters on level 2, you probably have to kill monsters on level 1 30 times to level up. It's fucking actually really terrible.
Huh.
It's apparently what the Japanese like. Because apparently it reminds them of tentacle rape.
Huh.
I don't know, man.
That's weird.
The Japanese have a weird thing about working really hard on repetitive stuff. Malcolm Gladwell says it's because they grew up farming rice. And by grew up, I mean evolved from people who... farming rice. That's what I meant. A little bit of English. Set the mood.
Aufgewachsen.
Yeah. Don't be an ausfart. It's a turnoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Betrayer says, you should be able to combine memory of a CA base pair with memory of a T to make a memory of a cat. That's not how genes work. Psychosis 730 says, so I multi-used 26 drink me potions. 86 turns later, only 2 maps dropped. Bug or RNG Scrooge? On the plus side, at least I still have 432 turns left to search. I don't...
RNG.
Yeah, I think it's just RNG. I mean, because we made it so...
You could go... you know, ostensibly, you could go 100 turns without getting any maps.
Isn't there like a 10% chance?
Yeah. It would be unlikely.
Turns. It's pretty unlikely that you'll go through it without getting one.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it could happen.
I suppose it could happen.
There is a non-zero chance.
Blathersby says, hey, ASIM, I work in a Houston Apple store. Check out the Verifone Payware Mobile. You grab that, download the app, and you can take credit cards straight from your iPhone. There's no need to buy an iPad for it. I'm sure the business team at your closest store, I think Santan Village, can give you info and hook you up. From what I've heard, it works extremely well and is way more convenient than any other app I've seen. By the way, my phone, Nokia 3588i. Hell yes, greatest phone ever. I don't know, man. This Square Up thing seems pretty cool.
Yeah, if it ends up being real.
I don't want to have to type in credit card information, because I feel like that... like, I feel like once you scan somebody's card through a slot, they trust you more than if you just type it in. I feel like I would trust somebody more if they actually had a machine to swipe my card than if they just typed in the number.
Google Sky. I was hoping that that would be an app for the iPhone. But it is not.
Oh, wow. I was telling my mom that it was. But no, but that was totally on a droid.
It was.
Now, why haven't they done that? Why haven't they done the star... Surely there is one. Surely there is a star map for the iPhone.
Yeah, there probably is.
Surely you could rip the movie Starman to an MP4 and put it on your iPhone. Oh, man. When there's multitasking in the newest iPhone OS, you can watch Starman while using Star Map.
There are several different star map.
And play a game called S Tarmac. You know, it's a game about different tarmacs. Your goal is to get to the S Tarmac. Like that game Section Z. Did you ever play Section Z for the Nintendo? For the original Nintendo? For the NES Nintendo Entertainment System Famicoms? No? Did you ever pay attention to me while we were on the radio? Did you ever play the game Section Z?
No,
Rick,
I didn't.
Did you ever play Section Z?
I think I've heard of it.
It was like a kind of a flying shooter, fly shoot. It was like a fly swatter. Wait, I'm actually thinking of a fly swatter that we had at my house and not a video game at all. The buttons would cause you to shoot in 2 different directions. And then I think there was something that maybe shot a missile. And every level ended with 2 different elevators, and it was like kind of a binary tree of levels.
So this Verifone Payware Mobile also sends you a card swiper.
Huh. I think I like the name Square Up better than I like the name Verifone Payware Mobile.
Sure.
Because there's too many words in Verifone Payware Mobile, and they sound like a real thing. Whereas Square Up, I feel like, it's probably some hippie.
Comes with a stylus.
A stylist.
Stylus.
So, like, not only... So you can use the money that people give you via credit card to pay the stylist to give you sweet haircuts.
Wow.
Linguini Lad says, so why does the baby bugbear take 10 away from all stats when you put it on the Crown of Thrones? Because that's funny.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
It's because it's funny.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Evangeon Q says, can you add a chat command to list which quest items your character has currently accumulated? I don't think that's a real thing.
No.
That's a fake suggestion. Stupak2 says, can we get a link to the next page of the membership roster at the bottom of a page? Scrolling all the way down to the bottom to find out who you're looking for isn't there, then scrolling back up to the go to the next page is kind of annoying. I'm sorry, for whom you are looking.
You know what also I'd like at the bottom of the page is a next and previous link in our dev chat logs. Yeah.
Gosh. So many things that you want.
It's true.
Yeah, no. I agree, though. Yeah, that's fine. That's, you know, one of those things that we definitely would have done if we'd been thinking about it. Oh, for those of you who were curious about what happened at the data center today.
Oh, yeah. Nothing.
Yes, nothing at all. It was a totally uneventful thing. So, we got this new backup server, and...
This was a month ago.
Yeah, this was a while ago. We got this new backup server that we put in.
We got that a long time
ago. Yeah, it was like a couple months ago. And so I was under the mistaken impression that we were not using it on DB1 yet, which is why we haven't been able to do some stuff like move forward on the making rollover only take 5 minutes and change some tables from MyISIM to InnoDB so that they're less contentious. So
cantankerous.
There is a significant delay. It's significant when you multiply it by the number of people that it happens to. Every time you adventure, there is a delay while it waits out a table lock on the adventure history table, and that can be converted to InnoDB now, and that should get a lot peppier. Like, I feel like we're going to be able to do some stuff that is going to make the user experience of playing the game noticeably peppier.
That's cool.
Which is cool. But, so anyway, we couldn't do that until we were using the new backup system. The new backup system was... He was taking hourly snapshots, and during the time that those hourly snapshots were being built, it was hurting game performance pretty noticeably, and his theory on why that was happening is because even though there was a gigabit network card in the database server, and as it turns out, gigabit network cards in all of the web servers, we were using 100 megabit switches, because at the time when we bought this hardware, gigabit switches were like way, way more expensive than they are. And so the backup process, his theory was that it was saturating the interface on the database server, so all the regular game traffic was having to wait out. Because it's like the having 8 or 9 web servers attached to the database server, it is possible if all of those web servers are just going balls out sending data to the database server and getting data back that it's really easy for it to request 10 times as much information as can actually come out of there. That's still true now that they're all gigabit, but it's not going to happen. Like, there's not enough going on that it's ever going to saturate a gigabit connection.
You say ever, but...
Yeah, I mean, if we had 100 times as many players, but we're not going... I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Well,
who knows? Maybe it will. Anyway, so I had to go into the data center and replace the old...
10 times as many players would do it.
Huh?
10 times as many would do it.
Okay. 10 times would be fine.
It's just one.
I had to go in and replace the old... well, one of them was old, one of them was new, one of them was borrowed, and one of them was blue. Actually, one of them was blue.
And one of them was borrowed, too.
One was old and weird.
Yeah.
Huh. So yeah, in the
was
beginning,
it four different ones.
No,
in the no, we've had four. There have been five switches.
Now, yeah.
All right, so it started out. We had two switches. One was white and one was black, but they were both new.
One of them was borrowed from
the data center. So yeah. Then the borrowed one stopped working.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, the game is not accessible from the outside world anymore. What the fuck? And like, oh, yep, that switch quit working. And so I drove to Fry's and bought a new cheap switch.
That was blue.
Which was blue.
Yeah.
put that in there, and I was, you know, I was like, all right, well, we need to get a better switch because this is like some $100 Netgear bullshit. This is not good enough for in here. And then, like, after I forgot to do that for like a couple months, I was like, you know, is there any reason why we can't just leave this $100 Netgear switch in here? And Geff was all, yeah, probably not. He was like, I wouldn't mind having, like, a spare on hand to, you know,
right,
in case it breaks, to be able to replace it. But so anyway, so then we had the old one and the new one, which was also blue. And I replaced both of them with two slightly more expensive Netgear 100 megabit switches, and I've got a hot spare.
I mean,
100 gigabit, 1,000 gigabit.
1 gigabit.
1.21 gigajoules. Vern.
So we've had the something new and old.
Yeah. Blue and blue. But now they're both of our switches are new, blue, and full of poo. They're not really full of poo. They're probably full. They're full of goo. They're full of magic smoke.
I feel like at least some of the data that is being swapped around is poo.
It is people sending. It was great. One of our. I shouldn't share this. Maybe this is privileged information. But one of the bug reports we got was a blind player reporting that he had sent a message in smoke signals to his girlfriend, and his girlfriend could not read the message. And it was because, you know, he was reporting like these images need alt text if people are going to be able to read them. And Gamelli's markup on the bug report as he assigned it to me was, just in case you were worried that romance was dead, the message he tried to send her was turd. which was so gratifying. It's just like, that is exactly what I was hoping that would be used for. Also, got some super sweet ASCII art from Minty Giant.
Oh, yeah?
He sent me a big dude who had a tie that was the word tie. You called it with the ASCII
art. I'm excited. Yeah. That makes me happy.
It is.
That is exactly what I wanted to happen.
Stink.
That is exactly what I wanted to happen with that.
Yeah, no. So that was cool. Thanks, Minty Giant. Also, thanks for being real tall. That's what I remember from Columbus. He's a friendly dude. A friendly Minty Giant, you might say. I was finding out, man, The Fantastic Mr. Fox is a fucking good movie. So good. So good. That's what I say. If you haven't seen it, listeners, or Riff...
Yeah, I'll have to go see that.
You should see it.
See what?
The Fantastic Mr. Fox. Where are you, buddy?
I'm reading the questions. I don't read them all in advance. I feel like you peruse them so you have an idea of what's coming up, and I have to read them while the show's going on.
You're not fully committed to Sparkle Motion, man. I read them because it's another like potential source of novelty for my constantly endorphin-starved brain that this fucking internet has created. I'm like, we gotta check Twitter. Oh, we gotta check Metafilter. Oh, boing boing. Oh, slash that.
I just don't. I don't check any of those things. I'm so filled up with just trying to like keep on top of things.
And yet, your pants vibrate every time you get an email.
Yeah,
that's a coincidence.
Speaking of which, we gotta send that picture to Idle Thumbs.
Oh yeah,
me wearing an Idle Thumb shirt while dressed as a wizard. Actually was a coincidence.
Yeah.
Glebe says, I haven't listened to the shows in about a month, and the first things I hear when returning are Salad Spinner Glover and Blive Barker. Don't ever change, guys. Also, do you think Crispin Glover ever owned that Glover platformer for the N64? I think he was a big fan of Hamburger Helper, whose mascot was that weird anthropomorphized...
Oven mitt.
Oven glove. Oven glove.
Oven glove mitt.
Do you think that if Crispin Glover decided to start using the shovel glove exercise system that he would call his shovel glove glover?
Yeah.
Goldust says, ETA on the rest of the C content, please. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
August.
February.
End of August.
Of this year, February of 2010.
I would say end of August at the earliest, unless we really get a boner for working on it while we're in San Fran-Diego.
Yeah.
If we were in San Francisco, we would only get a boner for other dudes.
I guess
San Diego, we could get a boner for the ocean.
Except for the fact that we've got all the Comic-Con stuff to prep for, I would say that San Diego would be a good time to work on it.
There's comparatively little Comic-Con prep, honestly.
Yeah, you say that, and we're not.
I mean, I've got some writing to do, but I'm gonna write the rest of the Choose Your Own Adventure on an Alp. That's what I've decided. I'm gonna climb an Alp, and I'm gonna sit on it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna type.
We're going to be in the Swiss Alps for the first couple of days of June.
Swiss Alps. And I'm going to go to the top, and I'm going to get above you a ways, and then I'm going to say...
Yodel.
Hey, Kevin. Ricola. You want to go back to the hostel and play Agricola? And you'll say, you didn't bring it. And I'll be like, oh.
You could.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You could, actually.
I'm not going to carry a fucking board game on it.
You could.
No.
You could do it.
We could buy a copy of it there. That would make more sense than hauling it around.
It'd be in German.
So? What are you, so dumb that you don't speak other languages? That's funny, because yes. Bloody Jackie says, please make Safari Jack's mustache wearable. It doesn't even need an enchantment. I just want to dedicate an accessory slot to it. So bad. Yeah, okay. I could see that.
What is it right now?
It's just a tag. It's a tag. Because that's a thing that means something. It's a quest item. It's a quest item.
It's not, I mean, it drops during the quest. I think it's just an item.
What is it, just vendor trash?
Yeah.
Why did you decide we had vendor trash in this game all of a sudden, Riff?
Well, yeah. That was in there because originally, going back to the familiars thing, the familiars were not supposed to drop if you already had one. And so I put those in there as a thing that could
drop, when
drop yeah. so that you'd still get something.
And what and
you could either keep it as a trophy or auto-sell it.
What changed your mind? Was it the people wanting to
Everybody
collect
them? Everybody in dev wanted to collect the Nemesis familiars for their display case.
Now, yeah, that's frustrating, because you don't want them to pile up, but you want to be able to get one for your terrarium and one for your display case.
Yeah.
That's or you want 100 of them for your display case.
Yeah. All right, well, that was a radio show.
Was it? Are we? Wow, is it done?
Yeah, it's.
How did that happen?
I don't know, man.
You know, I would have understood this better if there had been some kind of narration explaining why.
Yeah, if in the beginning, on this week's episode of Nerds Arguing About Bullshit, Hot Stuff and Joe share a special moment. All right, we're going to go share a special moment. Riff is going to start masturbating in our rooms as soon as we're gone.
Whee!
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.